Welcome to the AI and Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, the show where we spotlight the innovators and leaders who are transforming the future using the power of data and AI. I'm your host, Dean Gaeta, author, podcaster, and founder and CEO of Infogistics and Slingshot. We're living in an exciting era, a time where builders, leaders, and entrepreneurs are using data and AI to fuel unprecedented growth, create groundbreaking products, and drive meaningful transformations in their industry. If you're ready to learn from some of the brightest minds and uncover actionable insight to take your business to the next level, you're in the right place. And if you have a story to share, stick around until the end of the show. We'll tell you how you can become our next guest and inspire leaders around the globe. Welcome to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. Let's dive in. All right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I have Terry Zimniak with me, and he is a CXO and a person, and he's a founder or partner in TechCXO. So I'm really happy to have you, Terry, here on the show. But you want to go ahead and introduce yourself as well to kick it off?
Yeah, happy to, Dean. Thanks for the invite, and I look forward to the conversation. My name's Terry Zimniak. I'm a fractional CISO, so that's Chief Information Security Officer. Of course, nowadays, security touches everything, so I play some of the AI space, compliance. For some of the small, mid-sized companies, they even act as their CIO because they may not have that. They may have the architect role, but not really a CIO role. Real quick, my background. I've been in cybersecurity since I got out of college many years ago. So I was cyber before cyber was cool. Working in big companies, I've got about a decade of experience as Chief Information Security Officer, typically VP of cybersecurity at big companies, multi-billion dollar companies. But in the past 9 years now, I've been working as a fractional cybersecurity executive. And really what it allows me to do, it allows me to bring the kind of large company methodologies and the structures and strategy concepts and take it down to the small players, the smaller businesses. And actually what I find, Dean, one of my big business drivers is small and mid-sized companies trying to sell to the big guys. So having worked at the big guys, I understand third-party risk. So when you sell your product to a bank or to the government or the military or a hospital, whoever it may be, the buyers have all these cybersecurity concerns. So I've negotiated both sides of it. So that's been an interesting pivot in what I'm doing in both cyber and in the AI space. They're asking those questions. Sorry, a little long-winded off track, but yeah, so I'm a cybersecurity executive. Now I'm fractional working with a number of companies across the US.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Maybe you could share. So if you're a tech company and you're selling solutions to the government or the military, what are the things that everyone has to think about from a cybersecurity perspective?
Yeah, absolutely. So the buyers, whoever they may be, they're all worried about what you call generally third-party risk. So if you have a company and you outsource IT or finance or HR or services, or you have a SaaS, whatever you're buying, that buying of technology and service introduces cyber risk to the buyer. All of the big players are typically governed by some sort of regulations or compliance or insurance or regulatory needs. So for hospitals, it'd be HIPAA, credit card companies, the military has stuff now, a lot of the government agencies have some. So all the buyers have expectations and they need to make sure that what they're buying is not a cybersecurity risk. They call that third-party risk. So in that, what that has come down historically, Dean, is it comes down in the form of a cybersecurity checklist. Hey, I want to buy services from you or cloud technology or whatever. Here's 500 questions in a spreadsheet and fill this thing out. It was horrible. You would go through it. Do you have encryption? Do you patch? You fill out this giant spreadsheet that you're pretty confident no one's looking at anyway. But you basically had to convince the buyer that you were secure enough. Now, in the past 5 years, it's become more structured. There's more expectations, more clarity. And it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing for these small, mid-sized companies. Because in the old days, for these small, mid-sized companies, you had a nebulous idea of cybersecurity. We have to be secure, but how secure do we have to be? How much money should we spend? So it's really hard to say when you're secure enough. Nowadays, you can focus more on the concept, we have to be secure enough to sell. So our buyers make sure we're HIPAA, require us to be HIPAA compliant, which is the healthcare. Our buyers, maybe you're selling to the military, have CMMC requirements. Our buyers have cyber insurance requirements, which kind of lays out. So there's outside clarity now for these small, mid-sized businesses defining secure enough. And frankly, I think that's a big win for these small players because, again, it's not ambiguous sorts of statements. You really have a lot more clarity than you used to have.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We're a software company and we're just inundated with filling out these questionnaires from
Exactly.
longtime customers. Everyone's trying to button up their compliance and it's a nightmare. But anyways, someone needs to write a product for that. So what, like from a cybersecurity perspective, how has things changed with AI and just the rapid, these agentic AIs and everyone using LLMs and ChatGPT? Like how's things changed as a, like even as a tech company or a mid-market company, what do you have to start worrying about? We all want the productivity, but what do we have to worry about?
You've got to worry about your data flow, and that's not a new concept. If your data goes someplace, you're at risk. So with your end users, whether they're developers or office folks using all this generative AI, data's flowing a lot more than it used to. In the past couple of years, companies have gotten burned. They turned on the Copilot licensing, and Copilot, come to find out, has more access than they really need. So when Dean's searching for something, he pulls down all the payroll information, which is in your report. So excessive access rights is one big problem. They're getting that a little more under control because it's more compartmentalized, but that's one big problem. But even allowing data to leave. So I'm going to use ChatGPT to analyze something. Once you give ChatGPT your data, assuming it's public, a public version of the ChatGPT, your data is gone. So it's just like Google. You throw your data up into Google, it's gone and it's copied. It's out there and you're never getting it back. So data flow, data protections is one big issue. Data leakage, as it may be. But also people are starting to build solutions. You're not just using cloud solutions anymore. You're building stuff. So what I found, Dean, is that when you build stuff, you've got a generative AI model doing some kind of whatever it does, or even old school machine learning, predictive analytics sort of technology. The security requirements around those two types of solutions is not really unique. It's a lot of the same things cybersecurity has been doing for years. You got to worry about patching and backup and access control and availability and all those sorts of things. A lot of those controls really are the same, but you just have to be better at it because if you have a latent cybersecurity issue, if you weren't managing change control, if you're not protecting your learning models, whatever it may be, those problems, which maybe were not a big deal in old school technology, now can be a big issue. And I'll give you the example again of access rights. If Dean had excess access, but he never knew about it, but now you're using generative AI that's going to crawl on behalf of Dean, that latent cybersecurity now becomes a big deal because it's getting exploited. Again, the good news is there's not a lot of new controls out there. It's just you got to make sure you're doing what you should be doing.
Yeah, it's funny. I consider myself running a developer tools tech company pretty tech savvy, but I didn't have a setting set. So I buy ChatGPT. I didn't have a setting set to not allow it to keep my data private. So there's like a setting because I want to share data with it to have the productivity. And even I love this memory feature. It knows more and more about you. It starts, so you give less prompts and less context. And anyways, they're just setting that, I think, is helpful. But yeah, you really don't have much control over your employees. They're using ChatGPT and they're throwing data up into it. I don't know, how do you protect against that?
You got a good point. Okay, I remember a long time ago saying that computers are very secure as long as you don't have people using them. It's always a people problem. It really comes down to governance. Like in the old days, I still got some old school clients fighting over people, their employees having access to the internet. They're goofing off. But management and telling people what to do, gets really hard. But if you build that governance structure, you can solve these AI problems. Hey, Dean, here are the authorized guide rails for you as a developer. Here's your lane. You go as fast as you can in this lane and you go crazy. We're going to authorize you to use Copilot and hook it into GitHub and do all your fancy coding stuff. You've got this lane, go as fast as possible. If you're outside the lane, stop and talk to the security folks. So if you take a moment and think about and establish authorized guardrails, and again, encourage people to go fast. Hey, policies aren't a bad thing. People hate policies and I don't like them too sometimes, but they're good in certain cases. Write your policies, have clear expectations of what's allowed. And then again, go as fast as you can, but train people. If you're outside the policies, you got to stop and take a break.
So there's really no way, is there software out there that can say, okay, policies are good, but like preventing someone to upload a CSV or a spreadsheet, sure. is there
Yeah, again, technology has been there forever. It's new applications. So data movement, that's data loss prevention. So looking for data going in and out, maybe you can block access to the website. You got all the CASB stuff that's been around forever. Tagging, automatic compliance that's built into all your cloud workflow these days. So the technology's out there. But again, it's much more nuanced than it used to be. You got to be better at it because these small holes are being exploited because everything's automatic these days.
So what if I just go and upload a spreadsheet to ChatGPT? Would our network administrator prevent that? Or
it could be, but unfortunately, unless you have a good tool, it'd be like stopping with a sledgehammer, boom, and it will blow stuff up. So it's nuanced. So yes, it can be done, but do you want to turn it off completely and say no access to ChatGPT? That's certainly doable.
No, you can't do that.
Only ChatGPT to certain people. Is it the spreadsheets you don't like? Is it the data in the spreadsheets you don't like? So again, it's nuanced. So yeah, the tools are there, but you got to think through. Always start governance use cases. What is allowed? A developer can do this, and then you go from there.
Yeah, that's good. So what's changed? What's changed in security now with everything that's just happened even in the last 12 months? Like, what are some of the big changes you've seen with AI and security?
Yeah, a couple things. So I did a big project late last year for a financial company, and I helped them build their data governance program. So they had data governance, which is the rules of the road and expectations and accountability for old school machine learning, which is predictive analytics, sorting and categorizing sorts of technology. It's been around for 30 years now. And then they want to enable Gen AI. So I helped them rebuild their program. What I found is there's so much parallels between AI governance, cybersecurity governance. It's generally the same people. It's the same structures. It's a lot of the same controls. The fact that people are looking at it and has a lot more attention, that's changed, certainly. The other thing that's pivoted quite a bit, Dean, now that you mention it, is most guidance on AI and AI risk management. And for those that haven't read it yet, there's a great document by NIST, the National Institutes of Standard Technology. They're the one that produce all the really cool things, like you may have heard of NIST cybersecurity framework. NIST is the one that when government says you must encrypt, they define encrypt. So NIST has a bunch of great documents. NIST has an AI risk management framework. Excellent tool. And I tell you, that's going to be the future, Dean. My prediction is when you're describing your AI tool and the buyer says, show me it's secure, the NIST AI risk management is going to be the de facto one to say, yep, this is how we say we're secure because we align with this framework and we can report on it. And I think that's going to be the future of AI, just like NIST has a cybersecurity framework. And it really is the de facto one in the cybersecurity space.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyway, so if you go back to the NIST AI risk management framework, they talk about controls and you have things like transparency and bias. What do those things really mean? It walks you through that. But it also says what you should be doing to build your program. The number one thing they talk about is people. It's people. So people are becoming a bigger, component of cybersecurity AI space because you got to train people. They need to know what AI is. They need to know the rules. They need to know what they can and can't do. So training the people, and of course, people, we all love people. People are the weakest part of any governance program because people have mixed priorities and they can have good days and bad days and whatnot. But that would be one change that's pretty significant is the focus on the people controls within AI. How do you train Dean? How do you educate Vice President Dean? How does he know enough to have strategic conversations? It's all education. Developer Dean, does he know what he can and can't do? Finance person Dean, does he know where he can send the data and where he can't send the data? Does he understand concepts of bias in his reports? A lot of people aspects that have come into play, and I think that's going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are just wanting their company, wanting everyone to leverage AI to be more productive. Content, writing code, doing go-to-market planning, but no one's thinking of what you're talking about, data leakage and important things getting out there. And yeah, no one thinks about it until there's a problem. And it's kind of crazy. So, you know, do you have any thoughts around like safety, safe AI and the safety issues and how everyone is just, all the big LLMs are racing to capture market and be the best trained model? And like we've heard some like crazy stories out there, but do you have any thoughts around that since you're an expert in these areas?
It was interesting. So actually, Dean, in undergrad, 1990, we did some AI classes, old school AI sorts of stuff. And then even in my master's, which was about 12 years ago, I had AI emphasis in cybersecurity as well. So I've dabbled quite a bit of this. But the hardest part is just explaining these concepts because they're very nebulous and a lot of people don't get them. And even those that say they do probably don't. So I would go back to paralleling with cybersecurity. You need to be able to have a framework to have a good conversation. So in cybersecurity, I always tell my clients, hey, you're not secure because Terry says you're secure. You're secure because we've agreed on a framework and we're going to leverage this framework. We're going to measure ourselves against this framework. AI has the same thing. Again, I mentioned before the NIST AI risk management framework. There are established frameworks out there to say, here's how we measure our bias and our transparency. Here's how we measure how well we secure our learning data and how we do this and that. So having a framework to measure against, as opposed to Dean's really smart and he says hey, we're good from an AI perspective. No one's going to be better than the framework. And these are well-established frameworks. So again, just like cybersecurity, go find a good framework you want to leverage and use that as the benchmark because it's comprehensive. It allows you to talk to your peers in a common language. So I'm a big fan of the frameworks. I would leverage those.
Yeah, everyone just believes the AI and the AI doesn't always get everything right. So there's that whole concern, like you need to be a critical thinker. And if you're writing sophisticated code, it can get it all wrong and really generate a lot of code. And now you got to learn all that code, rewrite it. And now you're not so productive. Of course, then it does wonderful things for you too. But it's the same thing if you're even in a business context, like it could say, do this and it sounds so confident and people just do it. And like, where's the frameworks for seriously?
That's all built in there. That is in the risk management framework. It'll walk you through those sorts of concepts. You got to figure out what accuracy means for your company. Yeah. It will walk you through those sorts of things. And then your framework becomes one of the things we talked about 10 minutes ago, Dean, was your governance. So using your framework, what are your expectations? What are you going to do? And then governance is how do you do it? Those pieces fit together. And then again, we define Dean's developers acceptable path. Here's your guide rails, Dean, go as fast as you can because we've agreed this is all, these pieces are safe. Go as fast as you can. And then that's how you get the efficiency and you reduce the risk around it.
And how has AI helped you guys do your job in the security field? Has it helped you guys a lot?
So AI has been really baked into cybersecurity tools for years. Not so much the generative stuff that's coming. So generative AI will help with like research and putting things together and making correlations and whatnot. The predictive analytics and machine learning has been around in your antivirus now for 10 years. So it's been around for a long while. So it's really baked into a lot of the tools that you have. If you have a modern tool, threat intelligence, correlation, all that stuff is going to be leverages AI that's provided by the vendor. So your good tools will have it baked in. How they're using it outside, I think what I've seen is the security departments are using it in the same way that other departments would. So report generation, emails, PowerPoint presentations, those sorts of things are baked in. Now, me as a consultant, I've been using a little different. So what I do, for example, I've always done like risk management assessments, and I've been doing those for years. But what I thought is, hey, with AI, I took the FBI guidance on ransomware, big beefy document. It had AI extract the relevant points. So now I have 100 questions out of that document. Then what I do is I'll research a company. So if Dean's company wants a ransomware assessment, go research Dean's company, go understand his industry, understand their cybersecurity risks, now write an assessment based on that. So it's no longer a generic statement of business continuity. Now it's business continuity as it relates to Dean.
Yeah, that's great.
So what does good business resiliency look like? It's going to mean something differently for Dean's company versus the taco shop down the street. So it allows me to customize the work that I do and it makes it more valuable. They got the human. I have to go in there and have the conversation and flush out the details, but it gets me halfway there just walking in the door.
Yeah, that's really good. That's just a good use case for anything. The more context you give the AI, the better. And then that was a great use case to how you can use it to personalize help for a customer. And yeah, that's a good use case. So what didn't I ask you that? Oh, I wish Dean would have asked me that because I want to share something.
I would tell you what I think what some people are missing is when you talk about AI risk for your company, again, Dean's company, and maybe you guys write code and you guys make your own AI widgets, which is great. There's really two aspects of AI that you need to think about from a security point of view. One is stuff you build and the other is stuff you buy. So be intentional in both of those paths. So when you're buying, again, Copilot, a lot of people got burned because they turned on functionality about 18 months ago. And if you remember that, and people were getting access to a lot of things they weren't expecting. So when you buy from PeopleSoft and Microsoft and GitHub, someone's got to watch that. So part of your governance should think about how do we secure the AI that we buy? Everybody should have something in that space because everyone's buying AI, whether you know it or not. Do you even know the vendors that are providing AI? You may not know that. So know your vendors, know their tools, and then manage that correctly. Separate, independent from the limited number of people that build AI tools. And as a development shop, you're probably more in that space. But even you, Dean, you use AI and you build AI. So there's two things you're going to have to keep an eye on. And I'd be intentional in separating those two concepts.
Yeah, that's some good advice because I've been part of the tech industry for 36 years and AI is inviting you to give more data because it's so helpful and you just want to do it. And there's just a lot more flow of data that you don't understand the consequences of that. And as you said, as a team and a company, you're uploading all this data, but maybe you have access to it in your company, but others don't. But then it's shared and building knowledge around that and then sharing it in future questions to others. Yeah, that's some really good advice.
And a reminder that the solutions that you come up with, typically you talk about people, process, and technology. No one of those three is the ultimate solution for everything. So sometimes you got to train Dean. Sometimes you have to have maybe secondary validation on what Dean does. Sometimes you put technology in place to stop Dean from doing something. So remember, people, process, technology, you're going to have to vary those to properly protect your organization.
Yeah, Dean just needs to get smarter after this conversation.
That Dean guy sounds like trouble, yeah.
So this is really great information, and I've never had a security officer on my podcast, so it's an interesting conversation for me. How can people get in touch with you? You want to share how you want them to reach out to you?
Yeah, absolutely. The two best ways are, first off, is LinkedIn. So hopefully, Dean, you'll have the links in your show notes to my LinkedIn profiles. Everyone's welcome to reach out to me. Otherwise, you can look me up on my company website, techcxo.com. And cybersecurity space, you'll see a cyber tab there. And Terry Zimniak, and again, I think we'll have a link for people who want to go that route as well.
And it'll all be secure, right? We'll be okay.
Should be.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. Thank you, Terry. Really appreciate you taking the time and for our audience to hear your perspective on AI and cybersecurity.
All right. Sounds good, Dean. It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, it's Dean Guida here. Thank you so much for tuning in to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast, where we showcase the visionaries who are shaping the future with data and AI. If you're a successful leader, entrepreneur, or business professional and want to share your story on this program, we'd love to hear from you. Visit us at podcast.slingshotapp.io to apply. Got something value out of this interview? Share the love. Take a quick screenshot, post it to your favorite social platform, or text it to a friend. Don't forget to tag the show and use the hashtag AI Data Driven Leadership. I love seeing your posts and suggestions for future guests. And if you know someone who would make a great guest, let them know about the show. We're dropping new episodes regularly, so don't miss out. Hit subscribe wherever you listen, and if you enjoyed this episode, a quick thumbs up, rating, or review would mean the world to me and my team. Want to stay connected? Visit our website at podcast.slingshotapp.io or find me on LinkedIn at Dean Guida and Instagram at DeanGuida89. Thanks again for listening to the AI Data-Driven Leadership Podcast. We'll see you next time.